Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're going to take a look at another divine line in the book of Genesis. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to understand. Lord, there is a difference between mankind and the beast of the field. There is a difference between mankind and the fowls of the air. There's a difference between mankind and every creeping thing. I pray, Lord, by the end of this message, dear God, that we would want to live up to what it means to be a man, a woman, a human being, that we would understand, dear God, that we were created in God's own image. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the message tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Preaching on Sunday nights, a series entitled The Divine Lines in Genesis. The Divine Lines in Genesis. We already preached a message out of Genesis chapter number 1, verses 4 and 5. The divine line between light and darkness. And then two Sunday nights ago, the divine line between the species. God created everything after its kind. That pretty much destroys the whole theory of evolution right there. That God created things to reproduce after their own kind. Today I want to look at the divine line between man and beast. You'll notice in Genesis chapter 1, we won't go back and read the entire chapter, but God created everything up to this point. Through the first 5 days of creation and halfway through the sixth day, God created everything with the words of his mouth. The words of his mouth. That means that God spoke and it appeared. That means God's word was so powerful that he could but just speak and create. But then we see that God, in the middle of the sixth day, stops what he's doing, and we see a very definite shift in what he does. He then makes the crowning creation of his, crowning glory of his creation, and that is mankind. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. Now, you won't find that before any other thing that he's created so far. Time out. We're changing up everything. Let us make God in our image after our likeness. And I want to draw your attention to that God is talking in the plural sense here. Listen, I'll defend to my death the Bible doctrine of the Trinity. I can't believe how many people are attacking the Bible doctrine of the Trinity. To me, it is so obvious and so repeated and so well stated in the Bible that you have to be biblically ignorant in order to deny that God, yes, is one God, but he chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And this is not God talking to himself. This is God talking amongst himself. And he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. It's one of the first things I want to remind us all, folks, that we're created in the image of God. Just as God is a Trinity, we are created to be a triune being. Now, that's important. I want to kind of read something here to you. The key to understanding yourself is to understand how God created you. I often give the illustration of if my washing machine breaks down, you know what I have to do? I have to call the Maytag man. And he comes in and he takes the back off of it. I can take the back off of it. I can get the screws loose and then I can stand there and look at it. Now, I don't know what part connects what where, what those things individually do. I haven't studied it. Honestly, I'm not interested in studying it, because then if I learn it, I might have to fix it, and it's just easier to call the Maytag repairman. And so he walks in there, and he understands the part. He understands all the parts. He understands how they interact. He understands and can diagnose which part has a problem that's causing the machine to malfunction. Listen to what I'm about to say, folks. This is important. The key to understanding yourself is to understand how God created you. Rare is the person out in the world who knows how to maintain his or her life, how to fix his or her problems. Now, this is where we as Christians have a great advantage, because, you know, we have the Word of God, and we can study in the Bible the parts and learn the parts and understand how to maintain ourselves. So someone that's out in the world, they don't understand how they're made. They don't understand what the Bible tells us. They don't understand the concept of a body and a soul and a spirit and how they interact. And because of that, they have a hard time keeping their lives right. As a Christian, once you understand that you're a triune being, then you can keep your life in good working order, all right? And so God says, let us make man in our image. He didn't say that about anybody else. Now, what did he do here? Let me just remind you. He just took his foot and he drew another line in Genesis. And he said, you know what? This is all of the previous creation, the birds and the creeping things and the beast of the field. But I'm putting man on this side of the line. Hey, man's not an animal. Man is a unique creation created in the image of Almighty God, different than anything else that God had created up to this point. Verse chapter 2, why don't we look over Genesis chapter 2 and look at verse number 7. I love this. It tells in chapter 2 the process that God used in creating man. And we see in chapter number 7 chapter 2, verse 7, a little outline here. And God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You just saw him create us in the image of God. There is our Trinity. Stay with me, okay? First of all, God formed Adam's body, body, soul, and spirit. God formed Adam's body. Everything else God had created up to this point, he created with his word. Now God stops. He stops because it's time to create mankind. So God reaches down with God's hands, his own hands, and carefully forms the body of the first man. His fingers form man out of the dust of the earth. This is his crowning achievement, the one creature who will mirror the image and likeness of his creator. You might be thinking, well, preacher, that's Adam, but that's not how God created me. And I know you know this because I say it a lot, but I'm saying it again. You know what? You were created in the very same way. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. No, we are still formed by the very hands of God. And so God is very careful in his formation of man. God created you to be who you are and how you are. And he doesn't make mistakes. And so, you know what? Don't criticize God's creation. One of the best pieces of advice I can give to every person is be thankful for the way God created you. We spend too much time comparing ourselves among ourselves. You know what? God made you special. And he made you the way he wanted you to be. And so you be thankful for what God has done. God don't make any junk. And you're a one-of-a-kind, unique creation. There'll never been anybody before you. There will never be anybody just like you. And then that ought to make you feel special. And so God formed his body. Then we see that God breathed into Adam a spirit. We have the body, now we have the spirit. The word spirit literally means breath. Once God created Adam with his own hands, the Bible says he bent down and put divine lips to this, his image, his likeness of clay, and breathed into his nostrils. You see that little phrase there? The breath of life. The breath of life. God then breathed divine breath into man. God's lips touched the lips of man. And God's breath gifted mankind a spirit. Our spirit is the part of us that can communicate with God. As we learn, it is also a part of Adam that died when he willingly took of the forbidden fruit. Remember back when he was warned in Genesis chapter number 3, and he said, you know, the serpent comes to Eve, and she says, he says, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. And I always stop here and say, somebody's lying. Somebody's lying. Okay, folks, young people, all through your life, you've been raised to know what God says. Somebody's going to come to you and say, well, that's not the way it truly is. And you're going to have to decide whether you're going to believe God or believe that man, believe God or believe that snake. You got to make a decision in life. But the devil's a liar. He's the father of all lies. And he's also a murderer and has been from the beginning. He lied to her, you shall not surely die. Now, what is that conversation all about? Why did God say, in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die? Well, when Adam took of that fruit and ate it, you know what? He didn't physically fall dead. So the body didn't die. The soul is ever living. It will never die. It's going to last somewhere, live somewhere for all eternity. So what died that day? The spirit of man died. Now that happens in chapter number 3. We're back in chapter number 2. And man is still a living, functioning being made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. So we see that God formed the body of a man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then we see this, and man became a living soul. There's the Trinity, the triune being. God breathed into Adam a spirit, and then God gifted Adam a living soul. What a statement. And man became a living soul. Soul of man is a part of us that will never die. Every person is gifted by God a never dying soul. This sets man apart. Listen to me. This sets man apart from everything else that he created. Okay? No beast, no bird, no creeping thing possesses a soul. Only mankind. God's placed within our breast eternity. He placed within our breast eternity. Long after the body is dead, the soul of man will live on forever. In heaven or hell, one of the two. But our soul will never cease to exist. Florence Nightingale, some of you know who she was. She was up there on the battlefield attending to our soldiers, and some she attended to died. And she later said this: a human being does not cease to exist at death. It is change, not destruction, which takes place. You know what? She had some insight there. The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Preacher, why are we going through all this? Because I want you to understand that when God began to create man, the way he did everything before that stopped. And he drew a line. And those are the fowls of the air, and those are the creeping things, and those are the beasts of the field, but they're not the same as a man. The divine line between man and beast. Now, every time I've preached one of these messages, I've told you that every single time the Lord draws a line somewhere, the devil attacks that line. He wants to erase that line. He wants to convince mankind, guess what? You're just another animal. You might be a little higher form of animal, but you are as the beast of the field. And more, folks, we are watching mankind begin to live like animals. To live like animals. I mentioned this two Sunday nights ago, and I said, I'm going to take this excuse away, and I hope rewire your thinking if you have ever used this excuse. But have you ever heard somebody say after they fail and after they falter, have you ever heard them say, but I'm only human? I think we've all used this excuse from time to time. We fall short of expectation, fail in an endeavor, sin against God, and our excuse, well, I'm only human. Now let's change that mindset. I do not want you to ever again use your humanity as an excuse for failure, but as a motivation to succeed. being human should not be used as an excuse to sin, but as a reason to rise above our sinful state and do the right thing. You know why? Because we are created in the likeness and the image of Almighty God. Mankind is not an animal. Mankind is a special created being. Now, I'm going to give you seven ways in which this God draw a line. Seven differences, and don't panic. I've already covered the first three. We're doing just fine, all right? Number one, mankind is the only creature formed by the hands of God, Genesis 2:7. Number two, mankind is the only creature given a spirit breath from the lips of God. That makes you special. Number three, mankind is the only creature gifted an eternal, never dying soul. I'm sorry, I know you were attached to Fido. And don't call me and want me to do his funeral and to tell people that he'll be in heaven one of these days. I'm sorry, that's just not the way it's going to be. Mankind is the only creature gifted an eternal, never dying soul. Number four, mankind is the only creature made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. Let's go back and revisit that thought for just a minute. Let's go back to Genesis 1, verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. You ought to circle that word. All of the words are important in the Bible. After our what? Likeness. Think about this. Mankind is the only creature. It was made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. The word image there comes from a word that means literally shade or shadow. Now think about that. You go out on a sunshiny day, young people, and you're walking along. And have you ever tried to run away from your shadow? Have you ever played games with your shadow? I guess I've done a lot of that stuff because we didn't afford the toys that y'all had to play with, so we had to come up with something to keep us busy outside. But literally, you walk along and it's, you know, the song, me and my shadow. Okay, anyway, you walk along and there it is. There's the shadow. And it's almost as if God in heaven, when he stood there on earth and he began to reach down to form man, he had his shadow to use as a pattern for what he was created. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I understand. I'll tell you, there's a lot of things about God I don't understand. But we are a likeness in the same way that God, we are to God as our shadow is to us. And you know, when I see my shadow, it's not me, and I'm not God. But there's a likeness of God. There's an appearance of God, an image of God. So that word means to shade, a shade or a shadow. I mean, wouldn't it be neat to just have as your goal in life, I think I'll just be God's shadow. How about that? If you want to live up to what God created you to be, why don't you be God's shadow? You ever had somebody, come on, you got a little bus kid that attaches themselves to you, or maybe you got a little brother, and you say, preacher, every time I go to do anything, I turn around, that kid's like my own shadow. Boy, wouldn't it be good? Come on now, wouldn't it be good if God said, you know what, Jerry Ross, every time I turn around, he's like my shadow. I think that's something to live up to, not to use as an excuse for sin. And so we're made in the image of God. The word likeness there means a resemblance. Stay with me. Mankind was made in the image and likeness of God. Image means resemblance or shadow of the likeness means after the pattern of. Now, folks, I don't understand all of this. I know this, though. When you study God, you know what you see? You see a lot of man's characteristics in God and God's characteristics in man. You know, even the emotions that we have, the right emotions that we have, the correct emotions that we have, I could take you to the Bible and show you God has those same emotions. And by the way, he didn't learn them from us. We got them from him. There's a lot of things that are real in our life that we get because we're made in the image of Almighty God. When it came time to create man, God wanted to create a being that was patterned after himself. Now think about that. Come on. I've never seen a couple in this church have a baby where within the first few months, you know what they're all talking about in the foyer? I think it looks like the daddy. Well, I think it looks like the mommy. Well, I can see a little bit of both in that. Hey, shouldn't the world be able to look at us and see some of the image and likeness of our Creator? Shouldn't they literally say, that man sometimes reminds me a little bit about Jesus, like Jesus. You know what? What that man just said, I can see God saying that. what that man just did, I could see God reacting that way, folks. Isn't that awesome? We're made in the image of God. Adam was in many ways the mirrored image of the Godhead. Notice the scripture. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. The Bible teaches us that God is a triune being. We've talked about that. Man was created as one person made of three distinct parts, body, soul, and spirit. We're also created to resemble God, not to resemble the beast of the field. To resemble God, not to resemble the beast of the field. We're to live up to our creation, not down to our creation. God says we're made in the image of God. Listen to me. Public school biology book says we are the product of the beast of the field. Church elevates us and challenges us to live up to God's image. Atheism and evolution drags man down to the level of an animal. God says you're made in my likeness. The university says you're made in the likeness of an ape. Now let God be true and every man a lie. You and I are made in the image of God. Let's live up to God's holiness, not down to the world's hellishness. So mankind was made in the image and likeness of God. Number five, mankind is then given dominion over every other creature God created. And this is the things that separate us from the beast of the field. Look back, if you will, in verse number 26. It uses the word dominion, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 28, look down, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Folks, listen to me. We're not made to acclimate into the animal kingdom. We're made to have dominion over the animal kingdom. Now think about that. Stay with me. This is important. The word dominion means to tread down, to subjugate, to prevail against, to reign over, to rule, to overcome or overtake. I'm going to stop and just plead with you because I'm watching something that's happening in our culture. And you know what? I've watched good people try to defend it, but you need to listen to your preacher. Animals were created to bend to our will, not for us to bend to their will. You know how many times I'm on a trip somewhere and I watch a couple get out of a car at a rest stop at a restaurant, and you know what? Their entire lives are dictated by their four-footed little friends. I watched an older couple, and they both had a dog that was way too big for them to handle, and they were going through an area that I was going through, and this dog is literally dragging this older woman. The man has one that's a little more docile, but you can tell he's in frailer health, and they're on a road trip, and I said, are these your animals? Yes, and she's trying to talk to me, and the thing is yank it on her, and I said, do you take him everywhere you go? And, well, yes, we do, and I thought to myself, well, you're stupid. I mean, every motel they stay in. You know what the primary concern is? No, this is good for us. I'm a little tired of a world that's so gone so hog wild over animals that we're literally bringing animals into our home and living amongst animals. Now, I'm not mad at an older couple that's got a little doggy that they have in the house for companionship and protection. You know, I mean that. Some of our older folks, some of our widows want to have something like that. But I'm telling you, folks, I knock on doors every week in this community, and I'm telling you, it's ridiculous trying to carry on a conversation with the I'm not talking about 1 out of 10. I'm talking about you're lucky to find 1 out of 10 that don't live with a bunch of animals. And I mean, they're banging on the door. They've torn up the screen. They've got mud all over the windows. You walk in the house, it smells terrible. And I think we have degraded ourselves, come on now, into living amongst animals and living like animals. Okay, and by the way, this is good for us. This is good for us. You know, if you're, you know, well, I'm upset because I got a little dog, and I'm going to tell you what. Let me just ask you a question. You spend more time and more money on that dog than you do on ministry and on soul winning. You know, folks, we've got a crazy upside down world. Abort the babies and save the whales. Folks, we've had dogs. We have cats. I believe there's a place for them. I believe it's outside. Now, I'm going to turn 80 one of these days if I live, and I may have a little fifi, and you can come back and throw it in my face, amen. But the only reason I'd have a little dog in my house is and just in case something bad happened, we got hungry, and we needed some. If I've gone down this far, I might as well go all the way, amen. Well, I'm upset because I've got a dog that I love, and I've got, okay, let me ask you this. Did you go soul winning this week? I'm not against you loving your dog, but when you love your dog more than you love the souls of mankind, you've got things upside down. You've got things backwards in your life. We need to hit a reset button on this. Good night. It's a mistake filling our homes with animals. I can't even carry around a conversation at the average door. I can't even witness somebody at the average door because of the dogs that are barking and carrying on and beating down the door. And half the time, man, I knock on the door and I hear all of that. And I'm sitting to myself gauging how far I am from the truck. And what is wrong with us? Now, I'm not for being cruel to animals. The Bible says a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. You know what, folks? Just because we have dominion over the animals does not give us the right to mistreat animals. And you know what? I think if you're going to have an animal, take good care of that animal. And you know what? If you're going to go hunting, and I think you ought to go hunting, then you know what? When you take that, don't you take an animal and then waste it. The Bible says a slothful man roasteth not what he taketh. You don't kill just to kill. Okay? You regard that as a creation of Almighty God, but not an equal creation. Okay, we were created to have dominion over the earth. You see, folks, animals were created for us as a gift to us, for us to use for our benefit, but we are to have them in to subdue them and have dominion over them, not let animals control our lives. I've had people tell me we can't go on vacation because we got dogs. Are you kidding me? We can't do this, we can't do that, we can't do this, we can't do that. I'm never going to have an animal that's more important than me doing something with my family or me being able to have the freedom to make some choices. Let's get our thinking right, all right? So mankind is given dominion. I like this point. I was looking forward to it. Mankind is given dominion over every other creature that God has created. I really hope that's a reset button in your life. Because if you'll weep and cry when a puppy dog dies, but you can open the paper and look at the obits and watch people die and go to hell every week and never shed a tear. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I don't have a problem here. Y'all have a problem. Get that thing straightened out in your head. Number six, mankind is given the fruit of every growing plant for his nourishment and his benefit. Look, if you will, in verse number 29. God said in chapter 1, verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Now that this is so neat. I want you to look at the creation of the world different than maybe you have before. You know, when God created the world, not only did he stop halfway through the sixth day and say, I'm making man special, everything he made prior to man was made for man and for man's benefit. I've said this before, but one of the advantages we have living in rural America is that we got an opportunity. We're not in the city, in the asphalt jungle, not understanding where the food comes from. I used to ask the bus kids in Chicago, I said, where's corn come from? And they'd say, from Piggly Wiggly. Y'all know where, anybody know? Don't know Piggly Wiggly? Piggly Wiggly's a grocery store up north. From Kroger? No. You know, one of the most amazing things in the world is the way God created all of this. We taught this last week when we were talking about after its kind, but don't ever get over it. I don't care what concoction mankind can come up with. There's nothing more amazing than still going out to an apple tree and picking an apple and shining it up a little bit and biting into it and think, you know what, mankind could never have come up with something this good. I don't know about you, I love fruits. Hey, come on now, I'm going to help all you young people, young parents, okay? Stop raising your kids on chicken nuggets and french fries. And don't ever say this in front of me. Well, they won't eat anything else, or you're going to get a lecture. So that little three-year-old is dictating. They've already run in the house and run in the kitchen and telling you what they will and won't eat. Well, you're in for a good time in about 10, 15 years. Okay, you know what? Our bodies need, you know, God, did you hear what it said? Our bodies need those vegetables. Our bodies need those fruits. Listen, good. I mean, it's amazing to me. Do you understand? Have you seen the size of a watermelon seed? And you go out there and you put it in the ground, you build it in a mound, and man, that thing will take over half your garden. And you know what? Within just a few months, you go out there and you pick up something this big. And you know what? You wash it off a little bit. Don't take all the dirt off of it. It's good for you. And you get you a big butcher knife and you slice that thing. You get about halfway sliced and it pops and breaks open. My grandpa used to get one of those, break it open on the back of the tailgate, look at us boys and said, "Eat the heart out of it." That's what he'd say. Eat the heart out of it. He said, "Don't worry about the seeds. I'm just eat the heart out of it." Man alive, it's good to be Marvin Ogle's grandson that day. You know, I just ate the heart out of it. To me, I've never gotten over that. You know, I can take a ripe peach, and I love to eat them, but I never eat them quick. You just hold a peach, and it's fun. You smell a peach, and it's fun. And then you eat a peach, and it's glory. It is absolute glory. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. Every herb-bearing seed, the Bible says, every herb-bearing seed, that the word herb means grass or shoots that have their own seed. And I couldn't help but think of the wheat of the field. And you know what, folks? America's raised and sustained by wheat. I'm thinking about that ear of corn. You do understand that corn and that you're eating is just seeds that are within that own plant. And again, can I just praise God? This is what God did for us. I mean, you folks, can you realize this was all thought out by God? Everything he made in those first 6.5 days of creation, he made and kept on this side of the line. And then he creates man, reaches down with his hands, and then he puts his lips on man's lips, and he breathes in his nostrils the breath of life, and then he gifts man a living, never dying soul, and he raises that man up, and he says, "You see everything else that I've created? It's all for you. It's all for you. And I'm going to put you into paradise, and it's all for you." And this, we're going to cover this probably in 2 weeks. But isn't it sad we were given so much? And God just looks at one tree. Of all that he created for us, he says about one tree, "Listen, here's the only rule. Don't touch that. Don't eat of that tree. Just leave that alone. That's not for you." Boy, isn't it sad that God gives us so much. Young people, you better get this. God has given you so much, and yet the one thing in your life that he's told you no, or your parents have told you no, you'll throw away every good thing because you just don't want to ever hear no. And that is the basis of Adam and Eve's problem. Somebody comes along and starts lying about God, starts lying about authority. They're going to come to your life and start lying to you about your preacher and about your mom and about your dad. "Well, they're just doing this. They just got these rules because they're trying to keep all this good stuff from you." Don't you understand? If you eat that, you'll be as God's, knowing good and evil. The devil's a liar. And God created, think about that. He did 6.5 days of creation and everything on this side of the line. He's given us dominion over, and everything he created was there to supply our every need. And he gives us this perfect earth. No thorns, no thistles. Come on now. I never would have had to weed a garden. Praise the Lord. You know, and here we are, stubborn, wicked, wicked man. It says the one thing, and I'll throw away paradise rather than be told I can't have one thing. He said, that's craziness. Oh, you want me to list the names? I could list 15, 20, 25 people in the last 15 years I've pastored that threw away paradise because one thing that God said they shouldn't have. And they're going to have it. Now listen to me, folks. Mankind was blessed. We were given the fruit of every growing plant, nourishment. Everything that was created for our benefit. Be thankful for all that God has allowed you to have. instead of being covetous over the handful of things that God said to stay away from. Number 7, God has then given woman a helper taken out of him, made in the image of God. Now, we're going to cover the details of the differences between the creation of man and the creation of a woman when we deal with the next line, that next line that God's going to draw, and that's the line between man and woman. He made man, male and female, made him them. And by the way, here we go. Here's the devil trying to erase the line again. But God then gives man a woman, a helper, taken out of him, made in his image. Genesis 1:27, God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Look at chapter 2, verse 21. What a blessing this is. He says in verse number 18, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him. Verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. His wife, folks, his wife. So God didn't just bring him. He performed the first marriage ceremony. He said, this isn't just a woman for the man. This is a wife for her husband. And they shall be one flesh. Stay with me. Morally, mankind is made different than the animals. Our morals should not reflect that of the beast of the field. Preacher, why are you mentioning that? Why are you covering that? Because we are living in a society that when it comes to the morals and the moral decisions they're making are living like a bunch of animals. They are. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, no, I've got a different standard for mankind. I made you in my image. Okay, Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Goes on to say this: the such like of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write that. God wrote it. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Colossians 3, 5 through 6, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. God will judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee fornication. Let every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you had of God, and you're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. You're made one flesh. You're mankind. You're not an animal. You're mankind. You're not an animal. Young people, you stay pure until the day that God brings that person into your life that you're supposed to be married to. And then you stay pure until you take your holy vows before God. And then you enjoy each other's company, and you enjoy all the things that are included in marriage, but you enjoy them with one person till death do you part. That's not how the animals live. Unfortunately, a lot of people are living like animals. Excuse me, a lot of people are living like animals. My heart grieves over this. It's not a joke. It's not a small thing. I mean, God says, he promises, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Now listen to me. I know there's forgiveness, but this isn't a light thing. It's not a light thing. And we're treating it like it's like a, well, you know, oops, stole a candy bar, committed adultery. Whoops. You better take a look at the difference between those two sins and what God says about them and the punishment that's attached to both of them. It's not right to steal a candy bar, but it's not the same as fornication. Folks, we need to keep our bodies pure before the Lord. It's not a laughing matter. It's not a joking matter. I'm watching people that are professing to be born-again Christians. The honest truth, they're living lives that would qualify for Jerry Springer's TV show. And they want to tell me that they're saved. Excuse me. You better read the Bible. I'm not saying a Christian can't cross those lines. I'm telling you this, a Christian can't cross those lines and wallow in it and enjoy it. And if that becomes the pattern of your life, you better understand that the Bible says that they people that do these things, and by the way, the whole idea of is a continuation in them, will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to say it plain. There's certain things that born-again Christians simply cannot do and have peace and happiness and stay in it. All right? God will work in their hearts. God will convict their hearts. God will make them miserable. God will open a door for them to come back. But this whole idea of just living in open, unrepentant adultery and fornication and then walking around with a chip on your shoulder like the preacher's bad because he preaches against it, we better get our thinking rewired on that. Now, these seven things that I've covered tonight set us apart from everything else that God has created. Here's the line, okay? Well, I'm only human. Don't ever say that. Don't ever say that again. You're the crowning glory of God's creation, made in his image and his likeness. The earth is God's gift to you. You've been granted dominion over all the creature. It's an honor. It's an honor and a privilege to be a member of the human race. Only human? Never again use your humanity as an excuse to be less than you should be, but as a reason to live up to your Creator's expectations for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd bless us. Help us to reconsider the directions of our lives. Help us to reconsider some things that we've gotten comfortable around and some things that we've even perhaps begin to defend. That is, none of these things are part of your original intent for your creation. Lord, help us to live above what the world lives. Help us to live above the beast of the field. Lord, I pray tomorrow as we're looking in the mirror and get ready, maybe we'd remind ourselves, I'm made in the image and likeness of Almighty God. God's given me a body. God's given me a never-dying soul. And the day I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and rebirthed my dead spirit. I once again am a triune being as God originally created. And then perhaps we ought to get on our knees before we leave our house and say, Lord, help me live up to it. Help me live up to it. I was made in your image. May they be reminded of God as I go about my day. I was made in your likeness. May they see a little bit of Jesus in me. Lord, I pray, dear God, that this truth tonight would inspire us and motivate us to live above what the world lives. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless and protect our marriages, bless and protect our young people. Lord, may they live a good life, a pure life, a blessed life. We pray these things in Jesus' name.